This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The OPS, the new sabermetric numbers that we use, have they hurt or helped the game instead of going to RBI, batting average, and just straight old school stats that we used to pay attention to on the back of your bubblegum card?
I don't mind OPS. I think OPS and OPS plus is a fairly good measurement of an offensive player's worth, because OPS, your slugging percentage and on-base percentage, I mean, that's what you want. Hit the ball hard and get on base a lot. My former teammate Hal McCray in Kansas City told me, as a manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, as you know, Mac told me there's only two ways you can evaluate a player: how many he drives in and how many he scores. And when you think about it, that's
pretty
it.
Simple, right?
It's pretty simple. And now we're talking about all these guys, well, they can't drive in. Well, expected runs created and expected average and all that expected stuff. Well, you know what? You don't expect it if Bob Gibson's on the mound or Tom Seaver's on the mound or Nolan Ryan's on the mound. Everything is absolutely in that moment. The analytics measure things over the course of 162 games. Managers want things done in the moment. Get something done. Give me something. And John Snyder, the manager of the Blue Jays, has been using this acronym called WIN. What's important now? If wow. Your job is to move the runner from second to third, move him from second to third. If it's to get him in from third with less than two outs, figure out a way to get him in. And I think we have taken all of the decision-making away from players. As far as positioning, as far as pitch selection, as far as catchers calling a game, everything is done for them. So when they get in the jam, they don't have the background to make a decision. So, you know, I think that's a lot of your viewers are going to say, man, he's really old school. He doesn't really get it. But, you know, baseball is still the same. It's the team that scores the most runs. That's the one that wins. And I get so upset when I hear the Blue Jays had more hard hit balls than anybody last night. But you know what? We've scored four runs in five games.
Yeah.
I don't care how hard you hit the ball. Knock somebody in.
Say that one more time. Wins. What's important now, right? Can I steal that?
Well, I stole it from John Snyder.
Well, I'm going to steal it from you, and I'll give John credit, because it really makes a lot of sense. But you don't hear that. Hear about this and that. And I get, like I said, sometimes I just get tired of the broadcasts, because all of these little pieces, these granular pieces of information we get, exit velocity, that's great. But in itself, it doesn't tell me anything,
but
because
you can't change that. And that's what I get with spin rate. Like, we know that Jim Palmer pitched up in the zone.
Right.
He didn't know why, but he had a little extra skip. Well, now they can tell, well, he's got great extension and good. Well, you can't change that.
No.
Yeah, say all of a sudden now you have to extend 4 inches further. We now know why things happen, but that's not going to allow you to make adjustments and make it better. And Oral Hershiser, this was a great interview he did the other day. I saw him talking about pitchers. Pitchers now, when they start their warmups in spring training, the first day of spring training, throw 100% max effort with all the Rapsoda and TrackMan and everything behind them, and they look at every pitch they throw, and they say, well, you got to turn your hand a little bit more and throw it a little bit harder. Well, that's why everybody's getting hurt, because your body's not meant to do that. And you know what? We went from 300 innings to 200 innings to 180 innings now is the standard. And Dusty Baker told me a great story not long ago. He was playing center field in Pompano Beach against his Rangers in spring training. Fergie Jenkins started running from foul line in the first inning.
Right.
In the eighth inning, Dusty stopped him and said, Fergie, what are you doing? He says, I'm getting ready to win 20 games and throw 300 innings.
How many times did you see Nolan Ryan after the game? And Nolan Ryan would – I'd watch Nolan Ryan pitch. This is when I worked in Oakland. And you remember the weight room in Oakland was behind the A's clubhouse. And I would be standing there waiting for Art Howe to come out and Billy Beane to let us in. How many times did you see Nolan Ryan in there? And he would go in there and he'd work out for an hour after the game. And he was more lathered up in his workout than he was in his start.
Yeah. And he would ride the stationary bike after the game and do this post-game interview.
Yeah.
And then when he was with the Angels, Jimmy Rees would hit him fungos in the outfield and he'd run foul line to foul line, foul line to foul line.
Power shagging, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it was, you know, and now they don't run. And, you know, Larry Rothschild, of course, you know, from Tampa Bay. And he was a great manager, great pitching coach. And I asked Larry one time, I said, how do we prevent all these injuries? He said, you lock the weight room. You let them pitch, you let them run. And, you know, now we have so many trainers and physical therapists and massages and all kinds of things that we forget what the goal is. It's to pitch and to stay in the game and to stay on the field.
Well, it's interesting because Bob Boone was one of the first to weight train and got in there. And in that Phillies team, they would go in there and they'd use the facilities of the Eagles and the old vets. So Bob was the one who kind of started the fitness. Brett really didn't lift when he was first in the big leagues. Then as he started getting older, try to fight Mother Nature and Father Time, he started lifting a little bit more. But now you're right. You look at some of these guys and they look like they're CrossFit athletes instead of baseball players, the way that they work out.
Well, and Tyler O'Neill is a perfect example. I mean, he's a very muscular guy, but he can't stay healthy. You know, he's just so tightly wrapped. And Bob Boone started working with a guy named Gus Heffling. And Steve Carlton is the guy that really got involved. And he was more of a martial arts guy than anything else. And they were all movement and strength and everything else. But I know Bob later on in his career did a lot of swimming.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to take any more abuse on his knees because he was catching every single day. So he did a lot of swimming later on in his career. But, you know, they've tried to figure it out. We didn't have any weights in Kansas City, I think, till the mid-70s.
Really?
I know George never lifted any weights. George Brett, we had a guy that was our strength and conditioning coach, Pee Wee Barrett. And he would take a truck tire tube, cut it into rubber bands, tie them together, and then wrap the rubber band about your bat and then hook it up to a post. And you just hit the bat against the rubber band resistance like that. That was it.
Okay. You know, things we don't do anymore. Pepper. Right? How about we play Pepper every once in a while just to work on the things that you learned Pepper? It was good enough all those years ago, but nobody seems to want to do it anymore.
Yeah, man. You know what? I tried to do that when I managed in 2001, and my guys couldn't play Pepper.
Okay, so there's some young people that don't understand what we mean by Pepper. The only thing they know is they see the old photos. There's one at Candlestick Park where it said no Pepper.
That's right?
So explain to people what Pepper is.
Yeah. No Pepper. Well, you get two or three infielders and you get a batter, and the batter hits it to each one of them at a different time. Just sequentially, it goes back and forth and hits the ball. It just gives you bat control, and you hit the ball on the ground. You try to hit one hoppers to them, and you go back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, I mean, that's what we talked about, because, you know, striking out was a black mark on your record, and now it's not.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. But, you know, we got Don Mattingly as one of our coaches now, and he was a tremendous run producer and a tremendous hitter in his career. The most he ever struck out in a season was 46 times.
Wow.
And he drove in 140 runs, and, you know, he was a tremendous hitter. And now the only guy like that is Luis Arraez, and everybody discounts what he does. But he gets on base all the time, doesn't strike out.
Right. I mean, think about this. Nobody cares about strikeouts anymore.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struck out. You went back with your head hung low. I mean, think about this. If you had a pitcher, Buck, and you were catching him, he was 5 and dive, and he gets through 4 2/3, and you see him looking over your shoulder. Do you want him on your staff when you were catching?
No. Yeah, it was, you know, and Chris Carpenter was a fine pitcher who became a great pitcher with the Cardinals. I had him early in his career in Toronto, and he told me early on, he said, my job as a starting pitcher is to win the game.
Yeah.
What a concept. And that's the way Jack Morris thought. That's the way Nolan thought. Bob Gibson, Tom Seaver, Jim Cott. They go out to the mound once every 5 days. Their job was to win the game. You pitch late enough to win the game. And, you know, complete games are a thing of the past. And, you know, with all of the training and all of the things available to these guys, the nutritionists, the masseuses, you would think somebody would be able to throw 300 innings because they're obviously in better shape than we were.
Bigger, faster, stronger is what we always hear.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's the standard. I mean, if somebody throws 200 innings right now, they throw a party.
Let's, and we just have a little bit of time here. We appreciate you joining us, Buck Martinez. Take me inside what it's like for Brett. And again, I could trust you to answer this question. He's jumping in as a hitting coach.
Yeah.
Team has struggled. He comes in, breath of fresh air. What are the duties? What is he really doing as a hitting coach? Because you already know how to hit by the time you get to the big leagues. There's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, and I hear this time and time again nowadays, when somebody gets off to a slow start and somebody starts to swing the bats better, you ask them, say, what's different? And the common response is, I've simplified things. I go up to the plate with a clear mind. I look for the baseball. I make adjustments. The other day, Alejandro Osuna was called up by the Rangers, a young left-handed hitter in the Rangers system. And one of the assistant hitting coaches handed him an iPad to look at the pitcher that night. And Bruce Bochy says, take that thing away from him. He didn't want him to see the tablet. He said, let him figure it out when he goes out in the batter's box and watches the pitcher throw.
So and, Brett's been saying, watch the game, boys. Watch the game.
You don't really know what a pitcher's doing on a given night. And it happened to the Blue Jays last night, when Jacob Lats came into the game, and the scouting report was lots of fastballs, lots of fastballs, lots of fastballs, and he threw a lot of changeups. So obviously he made an adjustment. And they continued to throw changeups. The left-handers threw changeups to the right-handed hitters with a lot of success. And that's where you have to say, wait a minute, he's not pitching us like we thought he would. So you have to go into the batter's box with a clear mind and just pick out a pitch and try to decide what you're going to do with it.
So what is the communication like with a player and Brett coming in? I always told people when they'd ask me, if a team was struggling, I was working for, and the fans would call up after the game and they go, oh, that hitting coach has to go. He's a bum. And I'm like, well, okay, he's not the one who's striking out. He's not the one hitting in a double place. For me, I always judged whether he was effective. If I saw him in the clubhouse, Buck, if he was asking where so-and-so, if he was chasing the players versus whether the players were looking for him. Right. And I always thought the one that the players were seeking out, that's a guy that's communicating effectively. If he's got to chase down the players, then we have a little bit of a breakdown.
Fair? Well, yeah, and I think that's a big problem. And everybody talks about gaining the trust of your players, all the coaches, especially new coaches. We had two new hitting coaches come into camp this spring. And, you know, it's a matter of gaining their trust. And what our hitting coach did, he called the players literally every night. How you doing? How'd the day go? What did you do today? How did you figure out? How'd you feel today? What do you think we should work on tomorrow? And it just communicated with them very well. But at the same time, these players have to understand that Brett Boone had a plan when he went to the plate as a hitter. And he and Edgar and Olerud and Sprague and all those great guys in the Mariners in 2001 when we won all those games, they had a constant plan every single night. They went to the plate with an idea what they wanted to hit, not what the pitcher was throwing them. And that's, I think, the biggest thing is when a hitting coach comes into a new team, I think the first question should be, what do you like to hit and what is your strength as a hitter? And I bet you a lot of people don't really think about that.
No, they don't. They're worried about, oh, here's the arm slot, here's the spin rotation, here's everything else other than thinking about hitting the baseball.
Yeah.
What's the relationship like between, let's say, Bruce Bochy, Brett Boone? What's it like when you were managing, and what did you need out of your hitting coaches?
Well, the biggest thing with my hitting coach, not so much with my hitting coach, because I gave them pretty much free rein. But as far as the pitching coach and my bench coach, they were next to me every time. We had a pitcher on the mound. My pitching coach was right next to me. We were in the field. My bench coach was right next to me. And we talked all the time. And for Butch Bochy, I know he had Brett as a player in 2000.
Right.
So they have a relationship, and Bochy knows what makes Brett tick, and he knows how Brett speaks, and he knows how he communicates. And Chris Young played with Brett, so right. they know each other, the general manager. So it's now a matter of Brett trying to get the guys to understand that was a good at-bat. Why do you think that was a good at-bat? And to hear the answer, and then Brett will make decisions based on what he hears from the player. If and Josh Young says, you know, last night I was staying on that slider. I got a base hit to center field because I knew he was going to throw me a slider in that at-bat, and I didn't get too anxious. I didn't get too anxious. I let the ball come to me, and I put it on the, you know, I drove in the winning run with a little flare to center field. No exit velocity, Rich.
No
exit velocity. He got an RBI and won the game. So, yeah, it's all about learning your players and what they want to hear. I mean, you can tell, you know, Tony Gwynn didn't need a hitting coach, and Greg Boggs didn't need a hitting coach, but George Brett did.
Right.
And George Brett learned from Charlie Lau and carried that for the rest of his career and led him to 3 batting titles. George never hit 300 in the minor leagues. So there's an impact of hitting coach, and Charlie Lau, and George will tell you, Charlie Lau is the guy that turned him into Hall of Famer.
I was talking with Brett earlier today, and we've talked about this a couple times. The one thing for him, and I think anybody I've seen jump into the dugout is a coach or a manager, is once that game, and Aaron talked to us about it, once it hits 7 o'clock, it's out of your hands. You're just there to prepare for them. If you're the manager, you're working the game. But if you're a coach, you are turning your livelihood over to your players that hopefully you prepared for the game that night. How tough is it to sit there? I know what it's like as a broadcaster, as you. We know what it's like as fans, but to be that manager or be that coach, let's say if you're Brett Boone, watching your guys and they hit a home run, it's the greatest moment in the whole wide world. They strike out, you wear it. And I asked him, do you kind of feel like a parent at times? Because those are your kids.
Yeah. No question about it. And you'll remember Lou Piniella and how animated he was in the dugout when things didn't go well. And, you know, that's the way he was as a player. And you live and die with every one of your players, their successes, their failures. And certainly I think most coaches wear the failures a little bit longer than they wear the successes. And it's a difficult thing. But you got to remember that. And I know Brett remembers this very well. Hitting's very hard. He had many, many down times as well as having great times at the plate. And I think that's what he can convey to these players. You know, you're going to get 600 at-bats as an everyday player. You can't live and die on every single at-bat. You have to think about over and over and over putting yourself in the best possible position to succeed. And I think that's what Brett's message is going to be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.